This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to be talking sports with Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp today as we'll make our picks for this week's Big Ten games. It should be interesting. We've got some games that are going to be very closely contested and some that might be blowouts, but it's the Big Ten season, and so I think I'll say in my own bias that I believe all the Big Ten games will be close, but that's just my own personal bias. So we'll see how the guys think how the Big Ten will be in their first week of Big Ten matchups. And that's what we'll talk about. Coming up shortly, we'll have Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp to talk and discuss most of the Big Ten games. Of course, Michigan State, Ohio State, the biggest game of all the Big Ten games to be played this week. So let's bring in our guests, Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp. And Jack, how you doing? And let me get in Drew here too as well. Hey, Drew, how's Drew? So we got both you guys on the air now with us. So we got both of you on, and we'll talk about all the Big Ten games this week coming up. And, you know, I'm a little excited for the Big Ten season. How do you guys feel about the Big Ten season finally getting ready to open up and get underway?
Well, they have to play at some point, right? So they have to play, so it's not really worthy of that much excitement. But at least they can't embarrass themselves in the non-conference season anymore.
Yes.
Let Drew have all my time today because I know he has a lot to say about how well the Big Ten has been thus far.
Yes, we know Drew likes to gives the Big Ten a little gas, and we're sort of used to that. At this time of year, the Big Ten, if they don't fare well in the Big, don't fare well, and they haven't. This has been a bad year for the Big Ten. But let me ask you this, guys: why do you think it's been such a bad year for the Big Ten? What happened to make this year go down so much? I mean, the losing, the way they're playing, is it all a combination of what? But why is this year so bad for the Big Ten?
Well, you're assuming that this has been the only bad year for the Big Ten. I've been making this argument for the last 10 years.
But they haven't been bad for the last 10 years.
But they've been headed down this path. When you look at what their records has been in bowls over the last 10 years, they have the lowest record. They have the worst record, the worst winning percentage in the last 10 years in bowls of the major conferences. They've only won like 36-37% of their non-conference games against ranked teams in the last 10 years. So, I mean, this is not just a one-year thing that we're seeing. It's been building to this point for the past decade, and it's because the population shift in this country has taken the percentages the percentage of population in the Midwest has shrunk in relationship to the percentage gains in population in the Sun Belt area, and that's where football is played year-round. Here, that's just not the case, and it's not a reversible trend, I'm afraid. I just think we better get used to seeing this.
Or Jack, would you say that the Big Ten teams basically has to expand their recruiting base? Would that help it a lot if say they went out west more and went to the south more and did more recruiting? I know some teams do some of that, but do you think that every team really needs to expand their recruiting base more?
Well, that's easier said than done, Earl. I mean, you could say, well, they need to go into Florida and get better players, or they need to go into Texas. You know, the schools in the SEC are already there, and there are a lot of reasons for people who want to stay close to home. We've seen that recruiting around here. Same thing is true with going in, out to the West Coast to get players. So it's not an easy situation to overcome, but I have to agree with Drew. I think the population shift, as I mentioned before, I think it all comes back to air conditioning. You can go back 50 years, really, when this trend started to change. You can look at what Congress, the representation was, and how many more legislators there were from the Midwest than there are now.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just look at the Electoral College right now. I mean, you know, the state of Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania have lost like 20% of their electoral votes since 1980. And where are those votes going? Texas, Florida, California, you know, Colorado, Arizona, Georgia. That's where the gains are coming from. And this is where, again, warmer climate, you know, you can play football year-round. And the culture has the culture of high school football, youth football, has always been stronger in the South than it's been up here.
Yes. And you look at it now in terms of what the SEC has done with all the national championships. Earl, put yourself in a position, as much as you love the state of Michigan, if you were a top player from the state of Florida, why wouldn't you stay in the South?
Yeah. Well, if I couldn't stay in the South, then I guess I would come to Michigan. But
what if you could? I mean, what if you could? You would stay there. And
yeah,
then,
that's home. So, yeah, everyone stays, like to stay where their home and where their family and their relatives can come to see them. And that's understandable because, yeah, most people that if you're from Florida or from, say, some from Georgia, you want to be close to home where everybody can come and see and your relatives and your family come and see. And that's understandable.
Yeah, and college football remains inherently regional.
Mm-hmm. Right now, everything is stacked in the SEC's favor. But I'd say the trick isn't for the Big Ten to try to be better than the SEC right now. First, the Big Ten has to get out of its own way. Much as Michigan State had to do. Instead of trying to catch Michigan and Ohio State initially, it had to deal with Iowa and Wisconsin. And I think that's what the Big Ten has to do because it is not maximizing its achievement. You see things like what happened with Penn State. You look at Ohio State being ineligible for a bowl this year. Nebraska and Michigan are on probation. And it doesn't affect them going to bowl games, but they're still on probation. So a lot of things have happened. Coaching changes. There are a lot of ways the Big Ten isn't doing as well as the Big Ten should be doing.
And that's the thing. When you look at the Big Ten overall, you know, as both of you guys know, I'm a really Big Ten guy. I've always been a Big Ten fan of Big Ten football. I like that rough and tumble style that they play in the Big Ten, even though that's not the appointed style around the country. You know, everybody say you got to get faster. You have to get more speed. Is that still a factor? Is that still a problem with the Big Ten that maybe they just don't have enough speed for these different styles that they have to encounter from time to time?
Speed is an excuse because you can find speed at wide receiver and defensive back. There's plenty of that around for everyone to get their rightful share of. It's the athleticism and physicality at the point of attack. This is where the SEC is far better than the Big Ten. Offensive line and defensive line. Big 300-pounders who are quick. That is what has killed this conference. Over the last whenever they faced the SEC in an important game, in a big bowl game, not the garbage Lloyd Carr Invitational in Orlando, you know, or the Outback Bowl. I mean an important game, a game that both sides really care a lot about. National championships, Sugar Bowl, stuff like that. That has always been the biggest disparity between the SEC and the Big Ten. And, you know, Ohio State's been able to pull this off. Why has that been the case over the last 10 years? Because the state of Ohio is the only state in the Midwest where football is really taken seriously. And you got the top athletes, the top athletic prodigies in the state of Ohio, save for one LeBron James, always gravitate towards football. In Michigan and Illinois, they gravitate towards basketball. This is why Ohio State, and the coaching is better down there. They're smarter players. They know how to play the game. And they're able to combine size and quickness in the offensive line and the interior line. State of Ohio is able to produce that. This is why Ohio State, as I've maintained for years, is the only conference team that has a legitimate shot at regularly contending for Big Ten championships.
And I think there are a lot of reasons supporting what Drew says. You look at admission standards. You look at the way that the schools approach the game. It is as much of a cutthroat business in the SEC as you can possibly get. And in the Midwest, it's a little bit less than that. It's not that they don't want to win. It's not that they aren't putting tremendous resources into the game. But it's in a little bit better perspective than it is in some other parts of the country. And, you know, you kind of get what you want sometimes.
No, exactly. I mean, Jack, go back to the whole thing with Mark D'Antonio and Urban Meyer during recruiting. I mean, Michigan State took issue to Ohio State going after committed recruits. Yeah. And Urban Meyer's going, hey, it's big boy school now. This is how we do it in the SEC.
Right.
And Michigan State and Wisconsin, you know, they got blindsided by that. But they need to realize, look, Urban Meyer's going to do some good things for this conference. At the very least, he's going to elevate the stakes.
Right.
In this conference, that people are going to say, okay, you He wants to play for national championships. I mean, that's it. If you're not playing for national championships, you're not counting. You don't matter. And how these teams respond to that is going to be key. That's why I think, guys, I think this Ohio State game tomorrow is a more important game for Michigan State than the Michigan game is this particular year. Because it's Urban's first game. Can they beat Ohio State for two straight years? I mean, how big would that be? You beat Ohio State for two straight years, that'd be bigger than beating Michigan for four straight years, I would think.
Well, I think it would mean a lot. There's no question about that. I don't know that any game is ever bigger than beating Michigan. If you can beat them five straight years, I think that really sends a message. But in terms of what Drew says and the importance of this game, there's no question. Michigan State and its new recruiting emphasis on Ohio, not they didn't recruit Ohio before, but now it's a major player in Ohio. And Ohio State cannot take all the players in Ohio. Jim Tressel told me that there were more than 50 players capable of playing championship football in a given year in Ohio, and they're going to take 12 to 14 of them. So, you know, there are a lot of players out there. Michigan State has to position itself to get those guys and then to develop them and coach them.
Right, and that's how you beat them. I thought that was a big win for them last year, beating them down in Columbus. Now, again, it was the problems with Ohio State and Fickell, the coach, but you couldn't miss that opportunity if you're Michigan State. So now, again, Michigan State has struggled. This is Urban Meyer's first year. I mean, ESPN is making this a big deal. You know,
yes, game day will be here.
Out there, you know, and it's primarily because, hey, it's Urban Meyer's first Big Ten head coaching game. If Michigan State can spoil that, that would be as big of a victory as Mark D'Antonio has gotten in his 7 years.
Well, Alex, give us the results from last week. Tell us where we are right now, and we'll get into the predictions. And we'll start out with that Ohio State-Michigan game. But where are we at, Alex?
All right, fair enough, Earl. So after last week, it was a really close week once again for everybody. Drew and Earl, you guys went 8-2 last week. Jack, you went 7-3. Drew, obviously, with that pick, Louisiana Tech, you know, putting 52 points up, that was ridiculous. But
I should get two wins for that.
Maybe an extra win. But overall standings, Jack is 37-8, still in first. Drew, only two games back, 35-10. Earl, you're climbing back, two games back from Drew at 33-12. It's going
to
be
so
close.
So I was successful in my goal to let them get back into it a little bit and not run away. So,
well, you've got a chance to run away, so you can go first.
Well, you excelled in that one, Jack.
So, Jack, who you got between Ohio State and Michigan State?
I love the way Earl changes the rules.
I'm not saying we always said
the 1 week that he was ahead in the history that we've done this to. I remember him saying, "No, the person who's ahead goes next."
Jack, do we need to draft a constitution for this show?
I think so. I really do. But that's all right. I don't mind.
We always win with the guy who's in the lead first. That was always been in the lead in the first.
Right. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, it's going to be a 17-13 game in favor of the team that's at home. And if it were in Columbus and in the horseshoe, I would say 17-13 Buckeyes, but I'm going to say Michigan State by four.
Okay. So, Drew, what do you think?
Well, I think that hopefully, you know, if the Big Ten is smart, they'll get the officials from the Packers-Seattle game. That way, every interception becomes a touchdown. You might actually have these two teams capable of scoring 20 points each. But yes. Short of that, I think it's going to be 10-6 Ohio State.
Well, I look at the quarterbacks we have, and I would say Braxton Miller is a better quarterback than Andrew Maxwell. So I'll take Ohio State just because of they have the better quarterback, and I think that'll rule the day for Ohio State to win that game because they've got the better QB.
But who else do they have, though? I mean, Denard Robinson is the better quarterback between these two teams when they play in Ann Arbor. But Michigan State has proven, like they did last year with Miller, that they do a pretty good job of negating a one-man team, even if that one man is the quarterback.
Yeah, but I say he's a lot better quarterback than he was. Remember, that was his first start last year.
From what I've seen, again, they haven't played anyone of relevance, but from what I've seen of him, he seems to have improved. But
yes,
that's why I think it's going to be a very, very tight game.
It is.
If you love defense, you know, this is going to be.
And you guys know I love me some defense.
You know that Ohio State is last in the Big Ten in pass defense. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last in passing, yeah. I'm saying, you know, it's. If you can play Miller, Michigan State has a very good chance.
Yeah, they play that bend and break defense. That's what they've been playing this year. So we'll see if it's still the bend and break style that they've been known for this year. Urban Meyer, hasn't brought defense to Ohio State yet, but supposedly it's getting better week by week. So we'll see this week how much better this defense has gotten.
I don't know how much better it's gotten. It was outgained by an even 100 yards by Cal, and it was also outgained by about 50 yards by UAB. Also, remember, Ohio State hasn't played outside of Columbus yet.
Right. Well, so these are not two particularly good teams, and these might be the two best teams right now in the conference. So, as I say, it's not, as much as he is trying to build this up as a clash of the Titans here on the Midwest, it really doesn't make you think that okay, whoever emerges from this game victorious has a decent chance of really making a statement for the rest of the year.
The last time Drew had this much fun watching game was when the Lions had an inter-squad scrimmage, and he guaranteed both teams
would lose. Yeah, Jack, the last time I've had this much fun was that Lions-Philadelphia Eagles playoff game. I think that was 95, when everyone thought that the Lions were going to win that game by like 14 points, and I kept saying, you know what, they're going to get obliterated by like 28. And we were coming back from, I believe, what bowl game was that? I think it was Saban's first year, 95. Yeah. What was the bowl game in Louisiana, the Weed Eater Bowl?
Yeah.
We were coming back from the airport, ready to change flights to get back to Michigan. They had the game on, and the Eagles were up by like 38 points. That might have been the loudest I have laughed in my life when I saw that score.
Well, how about laughing at this one? This is a little bit easier one. I think everybody's going to take the same one on this one, but Marshall at Purdue.
I think Marshall's a good team. I think that they're going to give Purdue a game, but I think that Purdue is the best team in the leaders' division. It's going to be playing in Indianapolis. And I've got to take the Boilermakers.
Okay.
Does Purdue look ahead? Because the biggest game in Danny Hope's brief career is the following week at Ross A. Stadium when Michigan comes down there. So, let's see how they play. I think this is going to be a very close game. I'll take Purdue. But I do think they have one eye looking ahead to the following Saturday, and that could cause them some problems. But I'll go with the Boilers.
Yeah, I'll go with the Boilers as well. So we'll make it a clean sweep. We're all going for Purdue over Marshall. Well, Jack, I know this is going to be a tough one for you. I know you had to think long and hard about this one. But Penn State at Illinois, I know that's a toughie for you, buddy.
I think it is a tough game. I could see that game going either way, really. I think Penn State is improving. I'm stunned with the performance of Matt McGloin. I think Bill O'Brien's done a great job with him. He's turned him into the leading passer in the Big Ten. I'm going to take Penn State.
Okay. What do you like there, Drew?
Who did Jack take?
He picked Penn State.
You picked Penn State? Yeah, you take Illinois at your own risk.
Yeah, I've learned that.
Yeah, you take them at your own risk. But they are at home, and this is a conference that stinks. So at some point, they're gonna win some games. So it helps that they're playing in their own. I'm taking the Illini.
Wow. Stinks reference from Drew. That's number 7 today.
Mm-hmm. Number 7 today? Well, you guys say they suck. So that's improving. So.
Boy, you're taking Illinois. That surprises me because I was going to take Penn State, and I guess I'll still take Penn State. I like how McGloin is playing too, Jack, and Penn State, they are getting better. So I think they can take Illinois, and Illinois has been so inconsistent they haven't been playing that well for the most part. So I go with Penn State with you on that one, and we'll give Drew alone the Illini. Okay, now next we have Minnesota at Iowa. Could that be a tough game? Jack, how do you see Minnesota at Iowa?
Yeah, very tough game. Like a lot of people look at Minnesota as the surprise, but you have to look at who a team has played. I don't think Minnesota has
played any really monsters
that well. I think Iowa's in a desperate state. Have had Floyd or Rosedale there in a couple of years. I'm going to take Iowa at home.
Okay. Drew?
Well, you hear that Floyd the Pig doesn't want to be associated with this game anymore. Yeah. Called an insult to swine everywhere to be affiliated with this game. But Iowa can't lose. Now, Jack, Earl, they've lost two home games?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Yeah. I mean, can they lose three home games before you get out of September? I can't see that. I really can't see that. But if Minnesota wins this game, Jerry Kill's coach of the year. You win this game in Iowa, despite Iowa's problems. If Minnesota goes down there and beats Iowa, then make him coach of the year already. But I'm taking the Hawkeyes.
Yes, I'm going to take the Hawkeyes, too, because if they don't win it, I think we better see Kurt Ferentz get him a ticket out of town because he won't be coaching there much longer, especially if he loses that one. And three in a row at home, I can't see him surviving if he continues to lose. So I'll take Iowa, too. I think he'll bounce back and win that one. So we got a clean sweep for Iowa.
All right.
Okay. Next, this could be I don't know how good this game will be, but it could be good. Indiana and Northwestern.
No, it's not going to be good at all. I think we'll all take the Wildcats on this one.
Yeah. You go along with that one too, Jack? Wildcats?
Yes.
Okay, so we all got the Wildcats on that one. And then we have the big game. The big game, Wisconsin at Nebraska. Jack, how do you see that one?
I look for Nebraska to win this game. I see that Wisconsin's players are dissing Taylor Martinez in the press, and one of them isn't going to start as a result. But I think that this is a tough year for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just a September thing. I think they're going to struggle a little bit more than people thought for the whole season. I look for Nebraska to win. Nebraska, of course, had that very difficult game with UCLA. Defense didn't show up, but I think Nebraska's going to be there at the end.
Yep, Drew?
Well, it's a big game only if you consider the total tonnage of all the players involved in this game. You got some beefy guys in this one. But I think Nebraska is looking for a little payback because last year their Big Ten debut game in Madison, and they just got trucked, absolutely trucked. Yep. So I think they want a little piece of payback. So Nebraska not only wins, but I think they win this game. 17 points, probably. I think it's a blowout.
Yes,
this could be the biggest spread of the week, in my mind.
Yes, I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed because of the improvement, as we saw the last couple of years. Taylor Martinez was just okay. Well, he's finally looks like he's becoming a real quarterback. I mean, I'm really impressed with how much he's improved his game and his play. Yeah, so I like Nebraska just because of Taylor Martinez is just doing so well now. So those are it, and so you got them all there, Alex?
Yeah, I got them all. I'm a little puzzled about the Penn State game because like Drew said, Illinois, you know, when you're taking the Fighting Illini, that's a risk in itself. So
that's a risky one, but Shulhouse, I think, is probably he's finally relatively healthy. I gather so. You know, in Penn State, again, the games that they've won, Temple. They beat Navy, I think it was, and it's so bad. The quality is so poor that in this case, I'll give the home point. I'll give the whole team 4 points, and that might be enough for Illinois to get through this one.
Okay. Drew, I thought you'd be at the Ryder Cup today.
Well, I'm watching it right now. You know, it's with all the stuff going on right now, I forgot all about the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup is this weekend, you know.
Yes, now, I put some pressure on Alex yesterday. I told him I wanted to give us his pick for the Ohio State-Michigan State game. So, Alex, who are you picking?
So, at the start of last week, Earl, I definitely would probably say Ohio State would win. You know, Devin Smith, the way the corners have been letting up big balls downfield lately, Darquez Dennard and Adams, as good as they have been this year, I would suspect that, you know, they would let up some more big plays downfield. But for some reason, I just think MSU is going to come back, fire back. D'Antonio did not comment on anything. That seems to be the theme in East Lansing this week. I'm going to say MSU is going to win this one. I think they're going to be focused. I think that Maxwell is going to come back out and surprise a lot of people.
Okay, so you're going to be a homer.
I'll be a homer this time. This time I will.
Well, Drew, have fun with you on Saturday in the press box.
Well, I promise I will not sing. I will not sing. You know, my voice has finally returned after the last three weekends. I almost lost my voice again in South Bend last week. You know, when there was something in my throat. I couldn't speak, and it was one of Denard Robinson's passes. Made its way into the press box. And trying to swallow that one. So,
Andrew, how's the Dave Bing book coming along? When can we expect that?
The Bing book is coming around. I'm doing a biography on the Detroit mayor. It is due to be released the first week in November. I got the last look at it, the proof of it, just a couple days ago, and I'm looking at it. Oh my goodness, this is like 320 pages. I did all this. And it's hard to.
Hey Jack, now you've got someplace. You got a signing this weekend for your book.
Yeah, I got two tonight and tomorrow. Tonight I'm at the Hall of Fame Cafe from 6 to 9. It's an MSU Alumni Association event, and then tomorrow noon to 2. I'll be at the Spartan Bookstore at the International Center, about a block from the stadium. So if you want to stop by and get something signed for someone for Christmas, great time to do it.
And, of course, you can always join the big celebration with Drew there. He's going to have a tailgate before the game. So I think I'll mosey on over and get some of the samples from Drew's tailgate.
We will be tailgating there before the game, and I'm making Big Ten brownies. How do you make them? You put them in a bowl and beat them for 3 hours.
When are you going to be there, Drew? What time are you getting there?
Probably getting there around 11 o'clock. So, okay. Yeah, we'll be there for a while. So, Jack, after the signing, you know, by all means,
I'll stop.
Come on by. And some of the listeners out there, you want to stop by? By all means, stop by.
Where are you? What lot?
79, at the main lot at the stadium.
Okay, so we'll stop over there. We'll stop over and say hello, and maybe I'll even bring Alex and let him sample some of your wares.
Earl, bring him along. He's old enough to drink, right?
Well, yep.
if you're going to watch a Big Ten football game this year, you better start drinking. So.
Who's eating the game day brownies, Earl or Mark D'Antonio?
Who's eating the brownies?
Yeah.
Who's getting the brownies?
Yeah, he said, "Who's eating them? Either me or Mark D'Antonio. Who's getting the brownies?"
Oh, they're not for the coaches, not for the coaching staff. It's just for our good friends who are going to stop by. You know,
okay,
special brownies.
Okay, so there you have it there, Alex. So that's it. So Drew, we will see you on Saturday. We'll see Jack. We might see the might at that Everett East Lansing game, Jack. That should be a good game tonight. I know you've got the signing, but you'll probably try to make it over there. I would say you'd probably make it there for the fourth quarter. So
yeah,
I'll look for you around
then. Fourth quarter, so yeah, I'm trying to get over there.
Okay, so look forward to seeing you tonight, and look forward to seeing both of you tomorrow. So
see you guys tomorrow.
Yep, see you tomorrow, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 33 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The American West is on fire and under siege by an invader called cheatgrass. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at how fires and a foreign weed are changing the open range. Plus the use and misuse of DNA in crime investigations. That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 1:20 right here on, at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Mostly sunny and a high of 68 today. Tonight, a low of 42 and partly cloudy. Saturday will begin mostly sunny before becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and a slight chance of a thunderstorm. Tomorrow's high is 70. Cloudy, maybe rain and a high of 58 Sunday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And, Alex, it's going to be fun. I mean, we'll go over to Drew's, try to eat him out of house and home and everything he's got over there. I have no shame. I try to eat all his food. He's giving it away. He's giving it away. I'm eating it.
Oh, yeah, those game day brownies are about to get beaten pretty hard.
Well, I'm not a big brownie guy, so you can go kill him on the brownies. I'll be nice to him on the brownies, but if he got any burgers there or dogs, things like that, I might hammer him on. But I'll leave the brownies up to you, my friend. You get all the brownies you want.
All right. Well, what about the players? I think they need some brownies, too.
Oh, you can't give it. They can't have it. I forgot.
That violates the recruiting.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's it. So, yeah, we'll let you handle that. You can handle all the goodies. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And what you say? We got Fred on line three there. Okay. Let's see if I can bring this in. No, we can't bring that up there because it's not on. And and we'll keep talking here, and we'll see if we can get Fred on. Is that our good friend Fred Heumann? Is that who I'm thinking of, or is that another Fred? Okay, and we'll bring him on there as soon as he can bring that up, and we'll talk a little sports with Fred right here on AM 870. We'll be going out to the high school football games tonight, and that should be a good game tonight. That'll be coming up. I've been talking, and many people know that East Lansing, a Lansing-Everett game, that's going to be one of the biggest games in the area. That'll be coming up tonight. Should be a very big game between two of the best teams in the area. Both teams have a ton of speed. It'll best be a track meet between East Lansing and Everett. There's so much speed out there between those two teams. So we'll see a very fast game and a very up-tempo, tempo-type game. So it'll be good to see those two teams playing, this year. And they should just be two of the best teams in the area. Hey, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00. And you know, Alex, the Lions have a big game at home. Everyone expected them to beat Minnesota. They expect them to be downtrodden. But after Minnesota beat San Francisco, how do you see that game this week with the Lions?
Yeah, and you know what? Everyone expected Mekhi Lashore not to rack up 100 yards either. And it's been a problem for weeks. You know, it's his first game back. Sure, that was nice to see. But can he keep it up? They beat San Francisco. They beat an offensive team. That Minnesota defense, they should be pretty tough. Of course, they're going to have to deal with Peterson at running back. But I see the game shaping up that the Lions will pull out a win. I think after that game last week, they're a little furious. I think they're ready. I think they're going to be motivated this week. It's their division now. So I think they know these are the games that matter, just like Michigan State does.
Yeah, that's right. It is a division game. And you're right. They should be motivated. They should be angry after losing that game to Tennessee last week. But I'm not so sure. I mean, the thing with the Lions is their defense is still shaky. You know, they have a good up front seven, but the back end of the Lions defense, you can score, and you can score a bunch. If they can't get pressure on the quarterback, Christian Ponder will have a field day. So, and he had a field day with San Francisco last week, which had a very good defense.
Right. And now they got Corey Williams out. Now Fairley, yes. Sammy Hill are going to have to step up. There's a lot of issues with that front seven, which many people thought that would be the strength of this defense.
Exactly. So I'll take the opposite of you. I'll take Minnesota while you take the Lions. That's one thing.
Okay.
That's one thing that in the NFL, you know, home field doesn't have that much of an impact in the NFL as it does in college. As we know, in college, home team, those kids get excited at home, and they get off, you know, the home crowd can get them all fired up even more so. So it's a lot more interesting in the pros, whereas the home teams, it's not that big of a deal for a team to play on the road at home. So I'll go with Minnesota to beat the Lions.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Triple Crown Razor.
Okay.
Fred actually just called in. We got a little problems with the phones. We just reset them.
Yeah. Okay.
Fred, call back if you're listening. But Triple Crown, Earl, is Miguel Cabrera going to do it or not? What is your call?
Boy, that's a toughie. You love to ask me the toughies. You don't ask me any easy ones. You ask me the toughies.
Yeah, I've asked you the easy ones. There wouldn't be a show.
Boy. That is a toughie. I mean, I want him to win the Triple Crown. I'll be cheering for him to win the Triple Crown. But do I know if he is or think he will? I'll say yes. I'll say he's going to do it. He's got a good solid lead in the RBIs and the hitting percentage. But hitting those home runs, that's always tough. So I'll say, and he's been hitting great. I mean, yes, he's gone 0 for 8 the last 2 days. The last two games, he's 0 for 8. But he's been hitting the ball well still. So I'll say, yes, he's still hitting the ball well. He'll get a couple of dingers out in these last, what, 6 or 7 games. So I'll say he wins the Triple Crown, and then he will get the MVP award if he does that. People are always saying that. I hope he does. I mean, I know Mike Trout is a very good player. He's very good, but he's hitting for a good average. And the stolen bases are becoming important again. They just weren't important a little while ago, but they are becoming important again. So I'll look at that, and I'll say, yes, he'll beat Mike Trout out for the MVP. He should win it, even if he doesn't win the Triple Crown. He should get the MVP. He's that good. I mean, I don't think Trout should just get it because he has a good stolen base percentage and a good hitting percentage. I don't think he should get it anyway, but I'll say yes, and he'll get that as well. So we'll see. We'll see, Alex. So what do you think? Do you think he's going to get the Triple Crown? I think he is.
You know what? He's really, really close to Hamilton with, 42 home runs. The thing about Hamilton, though, is I touched this on my show at the Sports Wrap. Josh Hamilton missed 5 games due to too many energy drinks. Yeah. Too many energy drinks. When was the last time you saw, a player who is that impactful on his team with a first-place team, missed 5 games in the month of September due to too many energy drinks?
I haven't heard that one before.
After that, I think he's a little embarrassed. I'm going to think that, I think Hamilton's going to come back now. I think he's going to start swinging towards the end of the season. I think he's going to start to get into that playoff rhythm. So I'm going to say that in terms of home runs, I think Hamilton's going to edge him out still. But when it comes to RBIs, I think Cabrera's got that by far.
Yeah, I think he's got that locked up. And the race in the batting averages is a fairly close as well. But I think he can hold on to that one because he's still hitting the ball well.
Sure. And it's amazing, Earl. Every single year, we see Cabrera up in MVP talks. When the Tigers are in second place, when they blew it for it, when they were in fourth place a couple of years ago, when, at the end of the season, Jim Leland just had that lapse. Every year, the guy is still a hitter, over 320 every year. And he's always in the talks. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. Will Jim Leland be the manager of the Tigers next year?
Yeah, and Drew Sharp wrote that article about how they need to keep Leland because change will screw everything up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think, if we do let go of Leland and the next manager, of course, Jim Leland has many great qualities that a lot of managers don't have. When it comes to hit and run situations, Jim Leland, about probably more than 3/4 of the time, is dead on with that. And what the thing that I think the Tigers are going to miss the most is not going to be, Leland coming in and taking out pitchers, not at the right times. We've seen many times over the many years Jim Leland has coached, people are asking, oh, why did he take out Phil Koch? At this time he already had, two innings straight in a row with no outs. Why are you taking him out? And I think that was his biggest criticism. And, it's playing the guys like Rayburn, playing those guys that are under 200, that loyalty he has.
Yes, and that would be my biggest problem with him. He's too loyal to his veteran players, to his friends, I would say. He's just too loyal to them. I think if he doesn't get let go of those guys, he shouldn't have the job.
Absolutely, absolutely, Earl. And I think that the one thing that Jim Leland has that not many managers have is he knows – he really has that knack of talent. He knows, even though Rayburn hits under 200, he's put Rayburn in so many playoff situations, so many pressure situations that he's come through. He knows when to put guys in at the right times. And we've seen it with a lot of different relief pitchers. To start the year, this relief system was at zero to start the year. There weren't any guys besides when 2 years ago when they had Zamaya and that peripheral of different guys. When Valverde blew one save total throughout the whole year last year, that was when they were solid and had a good relief system. Coming into this year, they had a bunch of guys that they had to call up from the minors. So I think he has a knack for talent. I think he's a good scouter for that team. Of course, they do have the scouting system, but I think that's the one thing they're going to miss. But overall, is Jim Leland going to get the boot this year? If they do not make the playoffs, absolutely. If they make the playoffs, Earl, will Jim Leland get the boot?
That's another one. Will he get the boot even if he makes the playoffs? We know a lot of fans wouldn't mind that happening. Even if they make the playoffs, that Jim Leland gets the boot. I would say he might, if he just makes the playoffs, he's got to represent the National League, American League in the World Series, that is. If he represents the American League in the World Series, I'd say he'll stay there for sure. But if he doesn't represent the American League in the World Series, he might be gone.
Yeah. Now, if Jim Leland leaves and let's say this team makes the playoffs, doesn't win a World Series, what's the next move? How do you shake up this team? What position players do you look for? Is this the second base type team that you're, you know, that we've been preaching for days and days and days? Or is this, you know, is this the kind of team that needs a good amount of outfielders? Do they need to find a guy in place of Dalvin Young?
Exactly. They need to get better defensively. It's one of the worst defensive teams in the American League and the worst defensive teams for sure in Philly. I mean, just look at how many double plays they've ground into all this year. They're just a double play machine. Mm-hmm. And they've got to get better, at second and short for sure. Get better on the corner positions. They've got to make some mass improvements. Getting better on the corner positions and getting better, in short and seconds. So if they're going to have to make some moves somehow, they've got to get better defensively. If they can, find some defensive players that can hit. You know, not just one. Either they've got players now that can hit, but they can't, they're not that great of defensive players and they can't run. So you've got to find some players who can definitely field their position and hit the ball as well. I know that's asking a lot these days, but, you know, that's what they've got to do. They've got to somehow get players that can hit and field at the same time. And then it can be a pretty good team, that's for sure.
Now, what do you do about the pitching? You know, they've got...
Pitching is, the starters are good, but you're almost, the bullpen, you've got to, remake that. That's almost every year thing.
Now, there's talks about Valverde not coming back. Do you re-sign this guy? Do you let him go?
I would probably let him go. I mean, if they bring him back, maybe, closers today only last basically 3 years, and then they're gone someplace else. Or they become a middle reliever. So I would say, they could get by with him for another year, but I think you got to get something for him when his value is high.
Yeah, and there are always extreme cases. Look at Octavio Dotel. He's been on 10-plus teams in the league.
Yes.
He's been in the league for years and years, but as you said, closers only last 3 years. As much as Dotel has been on different teams, he's been a closer, and then he went back to a relief pitcher. So it changes, you're right. Valverde could, after this year, switch from being a closer to a relief pitcher.
Yeah, he could, and that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we'll be back right back with you. We want to take a break right now on WKAR East Lansing.
Did you know that camels used to roam America next to mammoths and saber-toothed cats? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the beasts that once ruled the land and then mysteriously disappeared. Plus, the biology of raptors. What can birds of prey tell us about climate change? It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s, partly cloudy and a low in the low 40s tonight. Mostly sunny Saturday before becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm. Saturday's high 70. And cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 58 on Sunday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Well, let's bring our good friend in, Jerry, from Haslett out there. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Doing fine, Brother Earl. Actually, just killing time until Science Friday, but I thought I'd give you guys a call.
Okay. Oh, that's good. You can always kill time with us. As long as you don't kill us, that's great.
Anyway, I got news flash for you and your producer there. Jim Leland is not going to be fired. As I hate to disappoint either of you. Short of dropping his drawers on the mound in front of 50,000 people. I mean, whatever his shortcomings will be standings-wise, mm-hmm. Everybody that's close to the organization knows that he'll walk away. I mean, he'll be allowed to resign,
and
he'll just kind of fade off. They'll give him a position. You know, they'll just kind of be reassigned possibly or just hit the road. I mean, the guy's going to be, 68 years old?
Or 670, 69 and, now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in reality, I just don't think that's the way Ilitch and Dombrowski operate. So, obviously, put it this way, I think if they thought the Tigers don't make the World Series, if you guys would just use that particular benchmark as an example, if they don't, you have to think that Dombrowski has at least an individual in mind. And And who knows, maybe if somebody unexpectedly attractive happens to lose his job or something, that could influence it too, I think, to a certain degree. But I've gotten the impression that Leland is, unless they really kick in and then make a decent run, but I just don't think he's going to have the stomach for it. Yeah, you can tell he seems to be more fed up.
Yeah, he does seem more fed up.
A lot of the criticism, and he's never been, Mr. Warmth at a lot of these interviews. But I don't know. I think he'll be allowed to just resign and walk away and claim a job. Well done. I don't think certainly the team is in better shape than when he got there.
Mm, that's true. It is.
But at any rate. Regarding tomorrow, Earl, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yes, it is.
I really thought Jude did a real for everybody here, sharing his Big Ten brownie recipe. That's going to be – that'll get him in the Hall of Fame right there.
And maybe it will.
But I do think tomorrow is – I do agree with Drew and Jack that it's a signature game, okay? It's not just because – the end is here, but because we have come so close the last, short of the Rose Bowl, and each of two or three different times we've had a chance to really, bust down the door, so to speak, we've fallen short. Whether it was the Big Ten championship game or the year before, the window has been very, very small for us the last 2 years, and we haven't been able to take advantage. And given the team's troubles, this is a huge, huge game, a real lift for us. And, if we fall short, I don't know where the confidence of this team is offensively yet. I know I think it's still developing and gotten off to kind of a shaky start. So
yeah, so we'll have to see, yeah.
Good ball game.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Jerry. Yep.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Have a great weekend.
Okay. Bye bye. And we got Fred on the line finally. Fred, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing well, Earl. I missed a lot of conversation while I was in the store, so I got two comments, and I'll hang up and listen. I hope this isn't duplicative. The first one is, the Tigers can win if they get 6 errors from the other team.
Yeah.
And the second one, shouldn't there be some kind of a rule that allows a pitcher to have a win when the guy that gets the win is the one that allowed the tying run or that home run, the Butler?
It would seem that way, yeah.
There ought to be an asterisk or maybe a something that says, but in case of really ridiculous decisions, the win will go to the person who did the best pitching or something like that. Well, I'll listen on the radio again. Thanks, you guys.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks, Fred. Hey, we got Don from DeWitt in. Don, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing good, Earl. How about you?
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're overrating Ohio State's defense a little bit, Earl, and The MSU offensive problems aren't that hard to correct. They got to tighten up the old line a little bit. But one of these days, these guys are going to start catching passes. I mean, they're talented. They do it in practice. It's been slower than any of us hoped. But it's not like I guess I just don't understand the attitude of so many fans. And like Drew comes across like, well, the Spartans have no chance of improving. And to me, it's not like their defense has been getting unexpectedly overpowered, although, granted, you'd like to see them get home on the pass rush a little more. Mm-hmm. But that'll come as they face more conventional drop-back-type teams. And in that regard, Braxton Miller can give anybody trouble the way he can scramble around. But the defense has been pretty solid. They got to clean a few things up. But as we've seen through these years, D'Antonio's teams do improve through the season, and I fully expect that'll be the case here. Now, Jerry points out correctly, we've been so close to the Rose Bowl, and that's true. It's maddeningly true. But at the same time, who would have imagined, you know, you just got to remember the point of the program, too. Who would have imagined 11-win seasons in year 4 and 5 of the D'Antonio program?
That's true.
But anyway, no, I just, you know, obviously, you just hope that tomorrow's the day that the receivers start hanging on, because the offense will look completely different. And the way Le'Veon is running, that'll open it up even more for him.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, yeah, we'll have to look at it. Hopefully, they'll continue to run well, and hopefully they can. I really like Braxton Miller, and Braxton Miller, to me, they got to slow down Braxton Miller. Yes, they do a good job against the defense, I mean, against the run, but they, like you say, the other part is that for whatever reason, they can't get home and they don't get any pressure on the QB. I can see Braxton Miller having a big day with the receivers who can go deep on Ohio State.
Well, he's done most of his damage with his legs, and MSU has shown they've had success. I mean, last year against him, and although granted he was a rookie then, and the last 2 years against Denard Robinson. So, you know, they're gonna be stout against the run. I think that will come across, but you know, I don't understand this attitude from so many fans, like, oh my God, they're not going to get any better. And that's always been the case in the past, and I think it'll be that here.
Yeah, I think they'll get better. When they'll get better is the bigger question. I think they'll get better, but will it be this game? Will it be the game after this, or a couple of games down the line? When do they get better? I think we'll just have to wait and find that out, Don. So it's just going to be interesting to see when and how do they get better, and when and will they give Ohio State a tough game tomorrow. I think they'll give them a tough game. Like you say, they could win it, but you're and Alex are on the same side there. You both picking Michigan State to win there. So you know, I think they're going to make it a close game. It's the one thing I agree with everyone. It's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout either one way. I think it's going to be settled with a touchdown or less, for sure.
Well, and regardless of what happens tomorrow, just think of the contrast with 6 years ago. That was when Ohio State was up 31-7. The Tigers were in the playoffs that day. And by the end of the game, you had majority Ohio State fans there.
Yeah,
that had to be the low point of Spartan football, going back a long ways. But one last thing, Earl, and hopefully Dennis can, you know, maybe next week if there's not enough time today. The latest, the theory I'm hearing out of Ann Arbor is that Notre Dame dropped them because they're so afraid of how well Michigan's recruiting, and they're afraid to play them. I tend to think in place of that game, they'll get a Texas. They'll get another name program.
Yeah, they will.
I thought that was a, you know, what do you think of that? And, you know, come on. You know, that's a little full of yourself, Michigan fans, that spin that.
Yeah, they'll get a good.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot, Don. Let's see. We have one more call. We got Matt on the line. Matt, how you doing?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
Just real quick, I want to say I agree with Don. I think the Spartans got some room to grow, and I really see a lot of parallels with that 87 team, you know, that they got waxed by Florida State and Notre Dame, and we don't know. Notre Dame might go on to win the national championship like they did that year. The Big Ten was weak that year. There's so many parallels I see. I think this is a good opportunity that State, you know, hopefully doesn't blow it and gets to the Rose Bowl. So I just wanted to throw that in. I see a lot of similarity there, so.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Matt. Hey, it's good to hear from you, buddy. And yes, a lot of similarities there, Alex. So we'll see how the Spartans handle the rest of this Big Ten season, and especially this first game. It would really help their chances if they go down and get a win against Ohio State. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us again on Monday here on Sports Talk 870, and we'll rehash the Michigan State-Ohio State game. I want to thank you for listening, and we want you to stay. Make sure that you come with us each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So we'll have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And I'll see you on Monday, right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.